Tonight, Pretty Late Pal and the leader of PACT, Steve Boise, joins us live in studio. Then later, with at least 1,000 new words, it's Tribune's political cartoonist Scott Stantis. And finally, we play another round of one of our favorite games, What's That From? All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello. This is an exciting night. Craig, do you know the Cubs score, the final?
I have not checked the Cubs score.
It's 8-1.
8-1. That is amazing.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not saying.
Right.
I'm just saying.
You're not saying.
I'm very excited this season. I'm trying to be very measured in my excitement for the Chicago Cubs. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, somewhat I think sure. You are. I mean, you were invited on the air to go.
Yes.
Right.
And Carm has texted me a couple times asking if I was ready. Also, he said in the event of a terrorist attack, he would be ready to go. He feels prepared for our maroon training.
That sounds amazing.
We might be marooned.
Yeah.
If we are attacked from our marine training.
Ooh.
He feels our platoon training was enough to make him ready.
Well,
for
I heard he did several things very well.
He did many things very well.
Right.
So.
He can carry you on his back?
Not me.
Okay.
Whoever that guy was.
Right. But he could do it with you if he needed to.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope that doesn't happen. I don't need to be. That's awkward. It's never a good feeling to be like bounced around on someone's shoulder.
No, it's probably not. And what would have happened to make that necessary would be confusing.
Not a good situation.
It is nice to know he's capable of it, though.
More than.
Yeah.
Very.
Right.
I'm in a weird mood.
Good luck in the game.
I'm in a weird mood. I kind of have screen blindness. I was doing in the sense that I was sitting in front of my computer all day today, entering my tax forms. And Esmeralda, do you do your own taxes or do you hire someone?
No, I do my own.
Do you now? How many forms do you have to enter? Like your W-2s?
Yeah,
and that's it.
Interest stuff.
Okay.
I think that's it.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I don't have a lot to do.
I have, on top of the W-2s from here, I have W-2s from other places as well. And then I had 13 1099s, which is actually the lowest I've done in almost a decade. But I get dizzy. Like, the numbers seem to be getting smaller every year. And I have to go over them. Like, I try to double check the employer ID number, then their state ID number, the amount I was paid. I'm trying to understand again why. So this has been filed, right? Our employers file that. Then we also have to file it. And if we get it wrong, the government says, hey, you got this wrong. And then you're like, well, if you already knew, why did I put it in the first place?
Making sure you're paying attention.
It's a really good point. It's just a math test we don't need to take.
I don't understand. Because this happened to me last year. I had missed a line with, I had worked in California. So the state of Illinois wanted to know where this income had come from. And they said, it looks like it came from California, but we're going to tax you on it anyway. But I had the W-2, so apparently I missed the section where I paid taxes to California. And they were like, okay, never mind. But you knew.
That's where I just hire someone.
That's a little shady. It just seems like, I just don't understand how they have the same information. It seems as though they have our bank accounts, they have our employer. I mean, basically they're saying, is there other income that we're not aware of? That's what we want to know about, isn't it? I don't know what else.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they're asking for.
I would just hire someone. That just sounds like a mess and a half.
Esmeralda, I went in one time to one of these tax preparer offices, like with the Statue of Liberty, and I came in with all the 1099s. That's what you get as an independent contractor. And they were going to charge me $750 for manually inputting all of those documents.
You may want to go to like someone like in the
yeah,
know
I feel
or
like
something.
You might want to use somebody.
I would ask around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Estimates. I'd get estimates.
And I think the other thing is that like handing over my documents, how much I earn, it just seems so personal. You always hear people getting like ripped off by an accountant or a money manager or somebody. So I get nervous. I never know who, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to jail this year. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It was a beautiful day today, significantly different from the last time we saw our guest, Hannah Stanley, who was live in our studio Friday night during the Pretty Late storm. It was a blizzard.
Oh, God. It was a blizzard. It was ridiculous.
Well, I think that part of the problem and why there were so many treacherous roads was the city and the local municipalities did not seem to respond as though it were a winter event.
I agree with you to
Not
some
all
degree.
Of them. Right, some
and
of
then
them.
I will also say that it changed while I was driving home, because there was a moment, and I remember it very clearly, where I was, you know, zipping along on my way home, as you had said, you need to go. And I said, you were right. And then I left, and I was on the Eisenhower. And at one point, I went, oh, this is not good.
Right.
And I kind of adjusted. The wind had shifted and the road got very slick, and it went from kind of an icy rain to like really icy rain.
Yeah, when I left here around 2:30, it was sheets of ice on side streets all over Chicago. Yeah. And I know some people saw salt trucks out. I did not, so I don't know what the response was. I don't know what the kind of, you know, what kind of traffic accidents we had, but you missed one that happened.
I missed one. I missed a fatality. It was that really bad accident that killed the chef.
Yes.
Actually, his services were today and this evening. I missed it by minutes. Wow. I was ahead of it. And it was interesting because that moment where I went, oh, this is not good, that was at the spot where that accident occurred. So it was, yeah, I got up the next morning and I was reading an article about this really bad accident on the Eisenhower, and I went, well, that was weird. I wonder what time. And then I realized how quickly and like how much I had barely missed it by. And I had taken pictures in the parking lot of the Trib Tower.
Right.
And I had taken pictures. I was stopped, but I was at the corner behind the parking lot where you go back onto North Water Street. And I looked at the timestamp, and I know how long it takes me to get from there to where the accident occurred. And I was no more than 10 minutes ahead. It could have been as little as two to 3 minutes.
And one of the things that I've heard is that the chef, I mean, because your brain tells you when you're in an accident, get out and see what happened.
Yeah.
But only because I've been in, honestly, 5 rear end collisions where people have hit me either I've been hit on the Jane Addams. I've been hit at different intersections. After the first one, I never get out of the car until first responders arrive.
Yeah. And that's incredibly good advice. And it's not what you think, because you think, I mean, I'm okay, let's go make sure everybody else
yes.
is. And I would have, with that weather, I don't know that I would have. I would have been a little freaked out, just because, as it turned out, I've read multiple reports, but one said 13 cars and one said 15. There were skidding cars everywhere. And additionally, and when I got home, I texted you and I texted Craig, your producer, and I said, the roads aren't good. I saw 2 accidents. And not knowing what was happening behind me at that point. But there was a car, and I use the Waze app, which is W-A-Z-E, and it's wonderful that people will report live as they're driving. You know, there's a car off on the road, there's an accident, blah, blah, blah. And it helps them redirect you around traffic. So I came around on the 290 extension, and my app talked to me and said, there's a car on the shoulder, be aware. And I would not have seen the car. It was on the left shoulder. It had spun out and hit that center divider. And so I was really fortunate to have the awareness to look, because it was in a very dark spot on the road. And they were okay, but they were out of their car as well.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you're okay. It was a tragic
Thank
night.
You. It was.
But yeah, it was. It's one of those crazy things. And it's been kind of I don't know what kind of week you're having, but I'm feeling, I feel particularly stressed. I don't know if it's just like it's not warm enough fast enough, or that we haven't left the winter behind us quickly enough. But also, I spent the whole day doing my taxes and just going, what do I owe? And
right.
And Craig told me before the show that you have an extra element of stress this week.
We do. And my husband is actually sitting on the couch putting in deductions that are actually legitimate. We don't fake that, IRS. That's all real.
Yes, me too.
But, you know, things that we've donated to Goodwill. Thank you, Goodbye Girl, Judy Pilak. So he's putting that in now. So there is a little element of stress. But, yeah, we're trying to reduce what we owe. But there's that. And then the other night I was up late, I'm sure listening to your show, as many people do. And when I went to bed at 2 a.m., I heard a little party going on. And I actually thought it was my dog chewing on like one of those little bone things, you know, like a plastic bone.
Sure.
And I reached over to tell her to stop it, and it wasn't her. So I immediately smacked Steve and said, "You need to get up because there's something going on that we are not authorizing."
Yeah, nice. And, you went to go to the party. You guys were excited for party time.
I went to break up the rave. That's what I went to do. We have a visitor or multiple because I've heard that if you have one, you have many. We believe we have a mouse. We set a trap. Because that's who I am as a human. I don't care. You're not invited. I will hurt you.
What kind of traps does it have a Stanley layout for these?
There was just a normal conventional mouse trap.
Okay.
Like, we didn't need to build a better one. We have what works. So we put peanut butter on the trap, and we went up into the attic last night. I as if I was a big part of this. I just popped my head up and went, looks like an attic. And then Steve set the trap. And then I was pretty sure I heard it snap last night.
Oh.
Also late. And okay. I was like, well, yeah, that's no fun. Time of death. And So I sent Steve back up there tonight. Here's the problem. The trap is gone.
Genius mouse. It's a genius mouse.
He carried it away.
There's no trap.
To save others.
However, there is blood.
Oh.
There is a drop of blood where the trap was.
So it hobbled away with the trap on its back.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's what happened, Patty. I don't think it's blood. I think it's a fake situation here. They're trying to lead you off the course.
My attic is a crime scene.
Yeah, this is a genius mouse.
And I have CSI Pastoral up in the attic trying to, figure this all out. And they've got black lights, and it's a whole to-do. So, yeah, it's gone. Steve, you can't see where it went. There's no trail. They don't have fingerprints. I don't know what to do. So, there's no spatter, Steve mentioned just now. So we have experts that we need to be calling, but we have to put out more traps tomorrow.
Oh, no. See, I was telling Craig, I was wondering if mice in the attic match what I have going on in my bedroom. And I don't know. It's a different kind of a battle, really. We have ants in my bed. So I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yes. Our bed is against the window. Like, our whole, one wall is partly window, and they're coming in through the windows. And so for that, there's not really, you can do, ant trap kind of things, those little things where they crawl in. And they're supposed to, take poison back to the rest of the ant. Do you know about this, Craig? They're supposed to stay alive.
Yeah, you just give it to one, and then they...
Then they disperse it amongst the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're look, sugar, yeah. And then they're bleh, and it's bad. And
I would feel really bad as that was happening, as I was watching the one ant carry it back to all the other ones. There'd be a little bit of remorse.
Yeah, don't... Go! You can do
it!
You can
make it all the way!
Well, you hustle and you tell your friends, come back here. Well, this is where the party is.
That's right.
So are they like the little tiny sugar ants, or are they like black ants?
Well, Steve says, I did not go inspect. I was doing taxes. And so Steve has the household duties when I'm doing taxes. And he told me there was actually a combination. He was surprised that there were mid-sized and the tiny ants. And last I spoke to him, he is sleeping on my side of the bed, which is away from the windows because sunlight burns me. So he said, it does. So he said, when you get home, just wake me and I'll sleep on the couch. And I was like, no, that's okay. Mommy will sleep on the couch. Yeah. Oh, I have to fall asleep in front of the television. Oh, that sounds horrible.
Oh, darn. So that's no fun.
So to sum up our conversation, you have mice in the attic and I have ants in my bed. Anybody else?
And you're doing taxes, and we totally didn't get to the octopus that's a genius.
We didn't
octopus.
Get to Enki the octopus, who is my new personal that's hero okay. and savior.
What?
There's an octopus that got out of his cage, climbed across the ground, and then found a toilet or something to go down to get to the ocean.
A six inch drain pipe, and he followed. Yeah, this is
genius
in New Zealand.
Octopus.
This is a thing. You'll be late to news. Don't worry about it.
There you go, Rob.
Sorry, Rob. Genius
Sorry,
octopus.
Rob.
I just want to know if there's a little chalk outline of the mouse in Hannah's attic.
This is so funny because I actually thought about doing that. But again, nobody. Enki the octopus, who is in the New Zealand National Aquarium because he was caught in some sort of a lobster trap or something, and he was injured. Aww. And some of his tentacles were shorter because they'd been, you know, snapped off or whatever. So he was taken to the National Aquarium and, you know, taken care of, and the people had a contest, and they named him Inky, which is cute. And Inky was incredibly smart, and they could hand feed him. And one night, everybody went home, and he was like, I'm out of here. And like Craig said, made his way out of the tank across the floor to a 6-inch drain pipe, which then goes 164 feet to the ocean.
Wow.
And he was heard saying Zewatnehu, but yeah. Nobody really is.
Oh, nice. I would have said Sia, but Zewatnehu, if you can say it, do it.
Yeah, see ya, suckers. That's what he said.
Oh, man. Hannah, we're going to have you hopefully next week, yes?
Yes, we are supposed to be on a very special guest joining me 11:30 on Thursday. That's the rumor.
Excellent.
That's
all right. We're carving it in stone because we had to juggle things a little bit this week.
It happens.
It happens. Thank you so much, Hannah Stanley. And good luck
with the
mice in the attic and on those abductions. Thank you. Goodbye,
girl. Thank you. Update on all of that next week.
Yeah, we will follow through on that over some chocolate or something. Whatever you like. All right. Sounds good.
All right. That sounds fine.
Wonderful.
Goodbye.
Bye, Hannah Stanley. Find her on That Hannah Stanley on Instagram and Twitter. More after this with Senator Dan Katowski and Steve Boise from PACT on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm now joined by State Senator Dan Katowski. Hi, Senator. How are you doing?
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Very well. Now CEO of ChildServe. And I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to introduce you to Steve Boise, who is the director of PACT. Director?
I'm now the CEO of Day One PACT.
Oh, everyone gets new job titles. I want my new job title, Craig. When do I become a CEO of something?
You are then.
You can be the CEO of stuff.
I got two CEOs.
CEO of content on the show.
You're in charge of so much. It's
so many things.
So many things.
Chief Executive Officer of stuff.
You're the CEO of headphones on the Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I do run around with headphones quite a bit, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Now, Steve Boise is the CEO of PACT. So it is now PACTInc.net.
It is now Day One PACT.
Oh, so many words.
.org.
Okay. Oh, I'm on the wrong website then. Because when I okay, let me do this again. Day One PACT.
Yeah.
All right.
It may not be tracking there yet. DayOnePact.org.
Well, we'll make a track on Google.
Okay.
Absolutely. Which is a you coordinate services.
We're an independent service coordination agency, and we serve three counties now: DuPage County, Kane, and Kendall counties. As a result of our merger, January 1st, we serve about 11,000 people.
Wow.
And we also have a nationwide program in which we provide guardianship and trust services for people with disabilities of all ages.
And one of the things I was struck by when I first met Steve, I came to his office. He asked me to take a tour. And, I have always been, you know, kind of in the trenches when it comes to Declan. We're always trying to make sure he has the services he needs now.
Right.
And we maybe think a year ahead, you know, where is he in school? Who are his speech therapists going to be? You know, Declan's missing a tiny part of his brain. So we try to make sure that the people we work with understand that he's not going to be. And they tell us, we've never had a child like Declan.
Sure.
And his, you know, outcomes are unpredictable. And so, you know, we mostly are day by day, month by month, maybe a year out.
You're learning as you go along.
Yeah. But you were the first person I met that I realized, okay, I should look at the long term. And there's also, there are people who will care.
Right.
Even when I'm gone, which, you know, that was the thing that struck me the most.
And that's why we got started back in 1981 by parents in that very same situation. What's going to happen when we're gone?
Right.
I don't want this Office of State Guardian with caseloads of 250 plus
right.
being the people who are making these decisions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that was why, you know, we developed a relationship. I'd had you on the show a few times, and I was really struck by how, one, integrated your services are from, again, you call it from birth to...
To the end.
To the end. Yeah. All the way through. I don't
All
know.
The way there's through. Not, there's lifespan. That's what we call it. Lifespan right. service coordination.
And I was just amazed by that because, you know, you have early intervention. That's a state-mandated program.
Yes.
Right.
Beyond that, there's school, but there isn't anything. And Senator Katowski, you can attest to this. Beyond that, it's really a struggle for parents and family members to make sure that you get everything you need because the state is often, you know, falling behind when it comes to payments, and you have less and less individuals who are willing to seek out those kinds of jobs as caregivers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The wages for people providing direct services are not keeping up with wages in society as general. And so agencies like Ray Graham or UCP Seguin,
Clearbrook
or Trinity right. Services, they cannot find direct service people who are going to be there to provide the hands-on assistance.
Right.
And so they are reducing the number of people that they're serving. And they're beginning to condense and combine living situations. So instead of having smaller living situations, we're now going back to larger situations. It is just we're regressing in this state.
Which is a dangerous situation because I believe that Governor Quinn was dealing with some lawsuits that were being brought against the state because of these bigger group homes. And they were trying to relocate and try to make sure that individuals were right. in smaller communities. So it seems like,
the money never followed the policy in the way in which it should.
Right.
There was a important change that occurred. So we were going to provide services in the way in which they should in a very more humane and a more direct manner in communities, in homes, in CILAs, right? And
right.
then the money never followed it. And that's the sad thing because the policy, I think there was a lot of excitement about the fact that the policy had changed.
Right.
But you know, there
has to be followed through.
Dollars just didn't follow through that. And then still to this day, I mean, we've talked about the PUNS list ad nauseum on the air. Is that nothing has actually really been done to make sure fulfills the promise of that list.
I've been on that list for 10 years.
Yeah.
So you're just a young kid.
No.
There was a selection.
And PUNS, for those who aren't familiar, PUNS is a prioritization for urgency of needs and services.
It's one of those wonderfully simple terms, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is literally a misnomer.
Right.
The urgency is just not demonstrated because they're
well, and the urgency.
You're on a waiting list for something urgent. Right.
Right? You're right. Already urgent. Yeah. And the conversations that I have with people at the offices would say things like, well, is your child homeless? No, because I'm calling you. I mean, which I guess I could be homeless. Is your child, are they a danger? Are they victims of abuse? Are you abusing your child?
Are they a danger to themselves or others?
Right.
Right.
So, and those are the kinds of, and so other than that, you're kind of left to your own devices.
You got to wait.
Yeah.
Until you get.
Or a lottery. There's.
I was just going to say, unless you get selected.
A lottery.
So 600 plus people were selected earlier this month.
And what are the numbers usually this time of year? I think it used to be a bigger number than 600.
It's dependent on how many people were taken into service over the past year. This all is related to a consent agreement that the state right. entered into mm-hmm. with people who sued them a number of years ago. And so they've brought in about 3,000 people into services under this consent decree. They are on track for meeting the numbers, but you still have 20,000 people waiting yeah. on the PUNS list. Mm-hmm. So 600 is a...
And there are always more coming on every
right.
every year, well, every month, every day.
Every day.
Yeah. yeah. So we're talking about some of the drastic things, some of the negative things that are happening when it comes to funding. But you are doing extraordinary work with the resources that you have. And you have an event coming up
yeah.
Called Magic and Music Extravaganza on Sunday. That's this Sunday?
No, the 24th. Right.
And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's very exciting. About a year or so ago, I was on your show. And a listener heard us, and he said, I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he contacted our development director, and he said, I've got an idea. Let's do a magic show that will be geared towards kids with disabilities.
So
there
so
won't,
fun.
Yeah, there won't be a lot of body sawing and blood or pyrotechnics.
Right, right.
I know. Not all
scary.
The
well, just the stuff that's right. like shocking.
Exactly.
It can be an assault to the senses
yeah.
for kids who are kind of, it's sort of hard to relate sometimes.
Right, right. right. So we've been working on this for about a year. We found a venue in Northlake, and they've really been working wonderfully with us. They gave us a half price on the venue, and we have space for about 200 people. There's going to be music, and there's going to be this magician who I've not seen in action, but I've met him. He seems like a real nice guy, and I think it's going to be a fun afternoon. And it's for all ages. I mean, we've geared it towards kids, but I have adults coming, too.
Sure. And this is Magic by Christopher George and
yes.
Wendy and the DB Band
right.
are performing. You can call, I'll give that the number. It's for Tim.
Yes.
At 331-481-4225 with any questions. And you can also go to dayonepact.org. That's dayonepact.org to go and enjoy some magic and music.
Can I say one other thing?
You can say a couple of things.
Why, thank you. At this point, we're giving the tickets away.
Oh.
No charge.
No charge.
No charge.
At what point do you not give them away?
Well, we got some sponsors. We got some sponsors, which helped us now to be able to
and
pay
who
for
are your
the
sponsors?
Venue.
Oh, that's terrific.
I should know.
Oh, that's okay.
But
we'll,
I don't.
We'll figure it out. That's all right. You have time. We're going to come back from a break. We're talking to Steve Boise, who is the CEO of Day One Pact. DayOnePact.org for more information, for services for families who have individuals with disabilities, developmental, physical challenges, and need a little bit of support. And, you need to know that there's someone there for you. And we also have Senator Dan Katowski with us, who is also the CEO of ChildServe. Go to ChildServ. Leave the E off.
Because our work is not done yet.
.org. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Senator Dan Katowski, and he's also the CEO of ChildServe, helping children who are, you know, seeking forever homes. Or, I mean, how would you describe that?
We help children and families who are at risk to build better lives, to achieve their potential. And we do that through housing. We do that through making sure they have family to live with, and we do that to make sure that they have an opportunity to get the education that they deserve. And I should say I'm also an employee of Patty Vasquez International. She's my CEO.
We prefer Team Patty.
Team Patty, really?
Yeah, because I just opened that LLC last
really?
Week. Yeah, I nice. Registered with the state of Illinois.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I haven't decided on my logo yet, but we'll Patty.
And hopefully I wasn't fired from Patty Vasquez International.
You were. I'm sorry. It's been disbanded.
Can I get rehired under Team Patty?
Yeah. Oh, great. The banner's
well,
big
you're going to have to submit your application again. We'll go through all that.
Sorry about that. A little bit of paperwork. Craig's in charge of HR. Recruiting
seriously?
And HR. Yeah, he's in charge
of all
that.
You didn't even look at me at the last interview.
I know. I'm just saying. And we also have with us the CEO of Day One Pact, Steve Boise. And you have a wonderful website that explains exactly what your organization does.
Yes.
And you help make sure that you can, you know, meet the challenging needs that so many individuals have, so many families face.
Right.
And you make sure that they have the service that they need.
Get them connected to services, make sure they're satisfied with those services, and then getting them a new service provider if they're not happy.
Exactly, because a lot of times people don't even know what's out there, what's available, what their options are. And that's so, because it's daunting. And how can people find out if they qualify for state services?
They call us.
All right.
That's the best way. There's information. The state has done a better job of trying to put out the eligibility requirements on their website, but it can be daunting to work through it.
Yeah, you don't have to take that. That's... You know, obviously it's the paperwork, it's the language that they use can seem like, well, I don't really know if I meet that. Talk to somebody who knows, who's been there, who's
Talk
been through the system.
Talk to us. We'll work you through it, make sure you understand every part of it.
Isn't there there's nothing more overwhelming than families for them to receive a response from the state saying, well, it's on the website.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then organizations like yours, Steve, where you can walk somebody through it, help them navigate it, help them, you know, connect them to the right.
Right.
Services.
No charge.
It's such a help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when I was in my role as a senator, it was a full-time job to help people navigate government, help them understand.
Yeah.
And so what you're doing is mm-hmm. huge.
Well, we try.
It's terrific.
I think we do a great job.
I agree.
I'm biased.
Well, I'm not. So I agree. You do great work. You were the first person that I called when there was this tragic news that came out last year. And it turned out that the children in this family were clients of yours. They were children that you provided services for. They were adult children at this point.
Yes, they were.
But a man in Elmhurst who had two adult children who were already in
Getting great services.
They were in group homes. And by the way, we had heard from a listener whose sibling was living with those children,
mm-hmm.
and she was glad that we were talking about it, that because her sibling was devastated by the news that the father had taken not only the lives of his adult children, but also of his wife and himself.
Right.
And the reason was that he didn't think anyone could take care of them the way he and his wife had.
Absolutely. And this has been replicated by other families across the state and actually across the nation. Mm-hmm. People who become homeless are hopeless, and the only answer they see is to make sure their child dies before they do. But you know what? I'd sooner say, Patty, we have really taken off with our parent support project, and we are reaching out to families in DuPage County. We're going to expand this into Kane and Kendall as soon as we raise some money. We're supporting parents at transition out of high school. We're supporting three different support groups right now. We're reaching out to parents who are struggling. And just last month, we got contacted from downstate Illinois by an agency who wanted to replicate what we're doing.
Oh, that's great. That, and that's important. It can't just happen in a contained situation just because you're doing a great job.
No.
You can only do so much, too. Like you said, you have 11,000 individuals that you're helping right now.
Right.
Yeah, that was another thing that we discussed. It was another reason I started going down to Springfield, not just last year when there was the suspension of funding for autism and epilepsy on World Autism Day last year, but I came down a few years ago for ABA therapy because it was finally something that seemed to be working with Declan, and I found out we weren't covered for it. We were recommended for 40 hours a week to work with him intensively, and we only could afford an hour and a half a week. Huh. And imagine families that can't even afford the hour and a half of something that could really connect with their child. Mm-hmm. You start losing hope when all the support that, you know, seems to be within reach and someone goes, but not for you.
Right.
That's one of those things. Or there is no support. Right. You have to have a network.
Absolutely.
And a net.
Yeah.
Yeah. So losing hope is the worst part.
And so often the certain people in the insurance industry would say they didn't like to be told what to do. Right. They didn't like a mandate of that nature when it was just, quite frankly, satisfying a very important need, mm-hmm. and created opportunities where there weren't any.
Right.
And that was the resistance that ABA was confronted with. And Senator DeLeo ran that bill at that time and got it passed out of the Senate.
Which, by the way, ABA therapy is applied behavioral analysis, which works with the individual to make sure that they are receiving the kind of positive reinforcements for behavior.
Right. And it's short-sighted because you're not just intervening for today, but you're building a foundation, mm-hmm. for lifelong success.
Exactly. As Senator Katowski has said before, when you invest in people, you save lives. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I really wish that we could put some of this on the air, that whatever happens during the news. Rob Martier, we have Senator Dan Katowski and Scott Stantis in the studio at the same time, and you know only hijinks will erupt.
Two of my favorite people.
They are very fun to have.
Yeah, good guys.
As far as they know.
Yeah. Yes. You don't know the dark, seedy side. You're my favorite news guy on
WGN. I appreciate that. It's nice.
He's got that voice.
He does have that. Go ahead. Do that.
You know what?
He has that voice. Do you do that when you go home?
I'm
going to love you like you've never been loved before.
I'm going to send out a text to Steve Bertrand right now. See, they said that I'm their favorite newsman.
Who's Steve Bertrand?
There you go.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy.
Real quick, we have a text message from the 224. Hey, Patty, anything good on the show tonight? /?
Oh.
What does that mean?
They're just asking. I don't think they're listening.
Just everything.
Just the whole show.
What's great is... Last night, Craig was reading the text. Well, our policy is that I don't read the live texts as they go by. We appreciate your input. And Esmeralda and I were actually talking about this a little bit, too. It's kind of like being tapped on the shoulder and being told, is that how you're going to do it? Are you doing it that way? Is that how you're going to do it? I can't. I don't play like that.
Or people just yelling at you.
Yeah, don't yell at me. Stop yelling. But they'll say things like, I usually really love your show. I just don't like what you're talking about right now. Well, they didn't like the emoji conversation other night.
I usually don't read those texts, but we got like a couple last night. And so I think they might all be from the same person. I love every part of your show except this segment right now.
Yes. So how can I can't program like that. I can't be like, what won't that person like? Can you imagine if I just like did a grid and looked at everything and went, I don't think that the texter from the 773 is going to like this one. That would be a little daunting. Out of the 38 states, Canada, and parts of Mexico that are listening to our show right now,
we're just shutting it down
for that one texter that did not particularly enjoy the emoji conversation.
It's probably a Canadian. You know how those people are. They're insane.
Rob, did you get a chance to watch the debate tonight? They are insane, by the way. Did you watch the debate, Rob?
Statically. I mean, it wasn't.
statically.
It was all right.
That's a great word.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was not riveting.
It was loud.
No, you know what? Actually, in terms of an aesthetic sort of point of view, it was nice. It was loud. But nothing new was said. I mean, we've been over this track before. So there was nothing new came to light.
Who got loud?
Both of them.
Both of them?
Yeah.
There was some yelling.
Crowd was into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was exciting.
Especially Bernie. And then apparently Hillary is also.
Did he at any point say again, let me finish?
Oh,
did
yeah.
He, did
yeah.
he really?
Oh, sure.
They both seem to be very yelly people. Yeah. Like once things start getting, they just start yelling and yelling.
Oh, they went back and forth. I think one of the, I don't know, and Scott can back me up on this. I like the exchange between them when she was talking about, you know, what she made or didn't make in her speeches to, you know, Goldman Sachs and, you know, Wall Street firms. And then she started talking about why he didn't release his tax returns yet. And his response was, well, my wife, Jane, does our taxes and we've been a little busy right now. And, you know, so.
Really?
Blaming really, Jane.
That's priceless.
I'll give you my taxes.
Yeah.
You want to see my, it's such a mess.
Have you done them yet?
I was doing them today. I was entering. Yeah. I manually input everything.
Oh, you've got it.
I've got a lot.
Do you do like TurboTax? What do you do?
I do H&R Block.
Okay.
I've been doing it for the last 8 years on H&R Block. I kept thinking about, I did 1 year on TurboTax and I tried H&R Block. I didn't like the TurboTax. It didn't seem intuitive. And I had more of a refund from H&R Block than
you
I did.
You are making money off H&R Block. I am,
no, I'm not.
That was like four times.
That's H&R Block that I use their software.
No, we are certainly not sponsored by the wonderful H&R Block company.
That I downloaded from Amazon.com.
The wonderful and amazing people at H&R Block have no input on the show.
I don't actually.
This makes me think of a story about H&R Block when I was a little boy.
You know what blocks I like the most? The H Block and the R Block. Together, they make H&R Block.
Wow. Oh, I hope they sponsor the show. I hope they come.
I've never noticed that before. You're right. There's
if we build the block,
block,
they will come.
Like all of a sudden, Patty's turned into a NASCAR driver where she's thanking every sponsor on the side of the car.
This Canada Dry Ginger Ale is fantastic, by the way.
Wow. Have you tried
sure
club soda?
I'm not sure about these Fig Newtons, man, but they're pretty good.
We have a listener who wants to join the conversation, apparently to surprise Dan Katowski. Hey, Richard, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to tell us?
Listen, just real quick. When I was a kid, I was riding the Staten Island Ferry with Dan, and we sang Give My Regards to Broadway. Do you remember that, Senator?
Who's this? Richie who?
Steinhausen. We played football together when we were
kids. Oh, yeah.
Kids.
We played football in the High Ridge Chargers.
Yeah. Do you remember when we went to New York?
I do.
Gosh, I hope
so. Yeah, we rode that Staten Island Ferry. And
we were 10 years old. We played for the High Ridge Charger.
They sent you to New York?
On our own with a pack of cigarettes.
And
so, we went with our parents.
What song did you
sing? Jug of wine. Give my regards to Broadway. Give my regards to Broadway.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of like that.
What, Craig? You don't know the song?
No. I want Dan and Rich
mention
to sing
me
it.
To. Sorry. What was that? Craig, actually,
Dan and Rich.
Yeah, Dan, could you both please sing that song for us?
I don't even know.
Just know that one phrase. Right?
What?
You know, maybe next week. We'll
next
do it.
Week. We don't want to do it. We're opening up next week.
I like how we're scheduling out theater. Your appearances.
Patty, while I got you on the line, when did you work at Grizzlies?
I worked at Grizzlies in 90, well, it was like 96, I want to say.
Really?
Just for
there
a year.
Was a time when I was working at Heroes, and I would stop in there every night. I love that place.
That was. I worked mostly the Blue Plate Lunch Special, like the lunches from 11 to 5.
Yeah, I listen a lot. I really like the way you got the pulse in our political system, which is such a mess.
It really is. It is. And by the way, I love Heroes. Heroes over on Western and Addison?
Yeah, I was working there. I would stop in at Grizzlies, and then I would go home for the night.
Aw, see, my dad used to date the woman who was one of the owners when my dad was a kid. Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, I had friends in there. I would very rarely ever have to buy a beer.
Yeah, that's how we were at Grizzlies. I don't know how they made any money because we all had friends that came in for drinks.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you, Richard. Thank
Rich,
you so much
nice,
for listening.
Nice to hear your voice.
There you go. You have to remember the song now. You know, all right.
My God. I can't imagine.
I like the face you make.
Yeah,
like a cigarist. Hey, all right then.
Isn't that like Ethel Merman?
No, you're like Ethel Merman. More after this on 720 WGN. I do love how much Senator Katowski and Scott Santas were singing along to Judy Garland singing Give My Regards to Broadway. Hi, Senator.
Yes. Hey, how are you?
He was singing on a ferry in Staten Island
when he was 10. No less.
I think that's a recording from that event.
Probably just the same lyric over and over again, wasn't it?
My voice changed just a little bit.
They're just doing the like prep games you need to do before the scene that's coming up after 12:30.
Yes, we are going to play What's That From after 12:30. The Senator is apprehensive.
Well, no.
No?
No, not
no,
anymore.
You're fine. All
no,
right, then, good.
I'm just jumping off the cliff.
If you want to play what's that from, you're going to be getting that chance.
I know Stantis has my back.
I do, absolutely.
I'm the one that has that means, but I'm the one that has the difficult part.
Not really. This is not difficult you, for you. This is not
what
difficult.
Are you accusing me
this
of?
This is your dream role.
It sort of is. It sort of is.
It sort of is. Sort of
dream role. I've played that role. Oh no, man. Too much information. this is too much behind the curtain. I don't even know if we have a curtain.
And
you're
can
listening.
See you with
pretty
hand motion. Pulling the curtain.
You're breaking the fourth
we're
wall.
We're not on there's, TV, by the way.
There's no walls.
There's no walls.
There's no walls.
Tear Esmeralda, it down.
We are the walls.
Esmeralda, what do I do in this situation?
Jump.
Shove.
Rough. Rough.
Sounds like a Pointer Sister song. Jump.
Oh, my love. Jump in.
I was listening to Justin Kaufman interview somebody who's been on Veep, and they were talking about how ridiculous that show seemed to be a couple years ago. Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays a vice president. And I've watched that show and thought, well, this is absurd. And then this year's primaries erupted. And I thought, nothing seems absurd anymore. This doesn't get any more crazy.
No. You can have a presidential candidate, a front runner, talk about the size of his penis in a national debate.
Yes.
Apparently, that's okay.
And you're worried about after 12:30, Senator.
It was my understanding we wouldn't be using the P word tonight.
I did not receive the memo.
Preppy? You don't like the word preppy? It's got a peppy penis. Yes.
I was a little surprised. I'll take it back.
All right,
this just gets weirder and weirder in the debate tonight. It was just a couple, the guy from New York, who's actually from New York, against the senator from New York.
Is he from? I thought he was from Vermont.
No, he's the senator from Vermont, but he was born and raised in New York.
Grew up in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, that accent. You can't.
Sure.
You can't hide that.
No.
And he sounds a lot like our regular guest, Dr. Dingman, so I wasn't sure.
A little bit. Just as grumpy. He is grumpy. That's the one thing about Sanders that I find weird is he's kind of humorless. I mean, if you notice, except for his appearance on Saturday Night Live, he doesn't crack jokes. He doesn't crack wise. He's just like mad.
Right.
Which is weird. Why that would appeal to younger people.
Because they feel like there's a lot to be mad about. They want their angry professor to, be grumpy and get things done. And
it's been weird watching. And Hillary just seems to be losing energy. It's been a strange.
In what way?
Her rallies, for instance, you switch back and forth between the different candidates, and her rallies are very low key.
So, is it her or the turnout for her rallies? You're talking
I think
about
it's both. She's not a scintillating speaker. Let's be clear. She's
to you.
No, I don't. I don't know anyone who says, even great supporters of hers, who say that she's a great speaker. She can turn a crowd.
There are
on.
Times, Scott. Though there are times where she completely hits it out of the park, and there are other times where she doesn't. I mean, there's times where I've seen her giving speeches, post a victory, and I'm like, she's nailed it. And then there are other times where I would agree with you, and I'm like, there isn't a consistent level of energy.
I would say when she gets in front of a crowd, Barack Obama gets in front of a crowd, and that place, it goes nuts.
Well, but that's you're comparing two vastly different candidates.
I would
just say if you're saying that there aren't times or moments where she she hits it out of the park. I would disagree because I think I've seen her in moments where I'm like, she's delivering a terrific speech. I just think there's just this whole wave of negative energy toward her that people are like, they're watching every single thing that she's doing. Like, oh my God, this speech.
She is running for president.
Well, yeah, she's running for president.
Yeah,
that's
going to happen.
Everything is monitored and evaluated. And I think there are times where she really does nail it. And I think
you're going to have to point. I will challenge you to show that to me sometime because I haven't seen it. I've seen some concession speech, and I've seen on more intimate moments she is really good.
I thought her victory speech in Iowa was.
No, I said that the victory speeches are different, but when she's on the campaign, and lately there just seems to be a lower energy. It's odd. Bernie just drew 27,000 people to a rally in Brooklyn last night. It was amazing.
The energy level on her part because it seems as though the attack against her is that she's shrill or not personable enough, and she's trying to be more measured and figure out what that is that's going to be more accessible to, because he is obviously hitting a chord with the younger people.
You know what I think is odd? It's like I mentioned, she's really good in intimate, small moments. And so Reagan, I'm thinking of just speech patterns, not not content. Okay, just purely delivery and the metrics of the look are. And she, I wish she would find a voice that when she's in a big crowd, you don't have to yell. You know, the audio.
Well, when you have a good microphone, you don't have to yell. Right. It makes me crazy when people don't know the power of a microphone and they yell anyway.
I was watching some old Reagan speeches just to see, was this guy, come on. I mean, you know, in hindsight, we're all nostalgic and, oh, he was a great communicator and all this stuff. He was really good because he's a trained actor. So, but he could stand up and go, well, you know, me and
I don't know.
And
I watch this very closely with her. And I think at times people say that she's yelling or she's shrill, but there are times where she really modulates when she gives a speech. And there's a senator downstate, Deanna DiMuzio, and she used to say it was so hard for her as a woman when she would go into a debate or when she'd give a speech. She said, whenever I raised my voice, whenever I got too excited, people would say, you're being really shrill. Or you're too angry.
Or too pushy.
She said, I really had to watch the way in which I presented. I've noticed this time versus last time, there are times where Hillary, throughout her speech, whether it's a victory speech or she's at a town hall meeting, where she will make a conscious effort to really slow down and modulate. And I think it's effective. And the thing is, I would also say that when you have someone who's won as many states as she's won, and she looks like she's going to win New York, but we'll see what's going to happen.
She will.
Yeah, but the fact is, it's like there's been a lot of time and effort and energy spent in a lot of states for the underdog. And there's an excitement there, right? And the Clinton campaign hasn't really focused their time enough. They've always had the long game and focuses on November. And I've kind of disagreed with that because I think every state, you know, you should battle every state to the greatest extent possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they've always had that. Yeah.
And earn the states.
They've had the long game. And that's the way in which they've focused on this. And they may disagree with that. But, you know, I happen to think that I think she's the way in which she's presented herself has been much more affable, much more much more appealing than happened in 2008. That's my opinion. And that's somebody who's, you know, that's somebody who campaigned. I campaigned for Barack Obama in 2008, and you know, I was somebody who supported him. And you know, my wife and I used to have big you know, arguments already because she was a diehard Hillary Clinton supporter.
I know my mom and I argued too. My mom was a big Hillary Clinton supporter, and we had big arguments during that election. It was fun to have the arguments, and that's what I was going to mention. I realized this yesterday. As hard as this last year has been, as tumultuous, as ugly as it has gotten at moments, I also think there's some very important conversations that are happening, and I also think it is important to know that there are people who are angry, and part of the way they lash out seems to be at the expense of others, of the other, whether it's white populations being mad at immigrants or minorities or the African-American population who feels like they're at the, you know, they're at the they're vulnerable to, whether it's the police departments or the city isn't holding them, their interests at heart. I think it's important to know that to have these all at the surface, to talk about these things. And as hard as complicated and as mean as it has gotten, I think that the voices are being heard this year. And that's been really great.
Yeah.
As awful as it has gotten at moments.
Yeah, it hasn't been. I mean, there is so much participation and in so many different levels during this presidential campaign. And I think you it was interesting, Scott, you brought up, you know, Ronald Reagan. I don't think in these campaigns that we had, and if we were to go back in time, that you ever had like rallies to this extent, you know, where you could. I remember seeing, I couldn't get over the fact that I was at the Democratic National Convention, and there was a football stadium. You know, Barack Obama filled up a football stadium. I was like, I thought this is the most amazing thing. And if you go back to, I remember seeing Bill Clinton at a rally here in Chicago, and he filled up the Daley Center Plaza, and that was like, well, it was exciting. I had never witnessed anything like that. It was 1992, right?
Right.
And 1996. And I don't think, you know, maybe back in the 60s, but there's a period of time, I think, in the 80s, I don't recall these huge, massive rallies that were occurring for candidates.
I would say, before we go to the break, I just want to say what seems to be the difference is it seems to me that Barack Obama was inspiring, and right now what it seems is people are reacting out of anger, we'll talk about that when we come back from the news.
That's a good point.
More after this on 720 WGN. I think I danced to this Pointer Sisters song when I was in grade school for a talent show.
Oh, I think
did you win?
We did actually.
What was that?
We were called the Patty Jens.
The Patty Tents? Really?
Yeah, really. Me and Jennifer Boris.
Even back dance. Then, you had Patty with the name?
That was, yeah, and first.
Patty Team Patty.
Patty Jens, yeah.
Patty, wait, I'm missing this. Patty, what?
Patty Jens. Patty, there's this Patty and Jen.
Patty Jens.
Patty Jens.
I thought it was like pathogens. I don't think, wow, that's
Jenny
weird.
Pets.
Wow,
that's
Jenny Patsy.
Jenny Pets didn't work. Patty Jens. I like Patty Jens.
Patty Jens. And we won. I think because nobody.
Did
I think
you win?
We won because I don't
was
think
it
there was.
Grammar school or high school?
It was grammar school at Our Savior Lutheran Norwood Park. I think because nobody else entered in the dance category. It was the only reason that we won. Like
they
each
had
category.
To give the award to you.
they had to. They were compelled.
It was a had to award.
They were. I mean, it was hard to get out of their hands.
Yes.
We had to unwrap their fingers from the trophy. But yes.
I tried to do the whistling bellies. Like you know, we did the whistling.
What?
Where you draw a face on your belly and you uh-huh. whistle a song?
No.
No.
Don't say no. You did about? It. Whistling bellies. It was a routine. Yeah.
Did you win?
No, I did not.
And what was the name of your
group? That's why I went into politics. What's that? They didn't give a special prize because we were the only whistling belly routine at our school. They were like, no, you're just not good. Get off the stage.
No, just get on. Was there a hook? Was there someone? Was there like a
there was
a
no hook.
Hook? There was no.
No. Okay. There was only who pulled us off the stage. Oh. They were just like. Nice job.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't sound like you didn't win an award because there was no awards to be had. It sounds like this was just not very good.
Were you asked to do this?
Why does he have to pile on like that?
I just said it.
He just had to pile on.
What grade were you in?
Didn't put a lot into it.
I was a sophomore in college. No, I'm just kidding. I was fifth grade, I think.
So you were drunk? Fourth.
No. This was before the onslaught in sixth grade.
I've never heard of whistling bellies. I don't have to Google whistling bellies.
Yeah.
No.
Were you,
no,
that's a
you
thing.
Stick your belly out while you're whistling?
Did you? No.
Did you didn't say that?
No.
It did exist. It happened.
Esmeralda, whistling bellies?
I've heard of like people drawing faces and then they make it move.
Yeah, that's what I did.
But the whistling bit, I'm not
well,
sure.
You know, we weren't really that sure. We just took a risk, you know?
Let's see. Was there something in your belly button?
No.
Yeah. To make it look like they were whistling?
Someone whistling behind you?
See?
Oh, this is just wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah.
Who let you do this as a child?
They
sent him to New York.
Yeah,
I mean, good Lord.
Courage.
I have a new idea.
We were dreamers.
Uh-oh, look out. He's got another idea.
I have a new idea. You know how Scott Stantis still owes you some kind of...
No.
Is he going to make his belly whistle?
I would like to have him be a whistling belly sometime in the near future outside
I can
the
be a flute player. Yes. Yeah, I can. Yeah. We can change it.
We didn't put lipstick on our belly, though.
Yeah, you can play your flute while... Dress like you have your, yeah, have your shirt up and paint your belly like a face.
No one deserves to see that.
You know, they're making it sound a lot worse. Those were listening. It's just, it was an innocent thing that we did.
The
as
belly button
children.
Is the center of
I'm looking
the
at a
audience.
Picture here. There is nothing innocent about that.
Scott's going to have a cartoon about it.
I think this is my favorite one.
Oh my God. I'm going to wake up before this morning. Oh my gosh.
There you go. This is good radio.
Oh, look at that. I
bet you guys didn't go that extra mile.
Well, our bellies weren't that big back then.
So, Senator, was it not long after your whistling belly adventure that you started running for office? Did you run for, like, student council? Were you involved?
It was actually my first speech for student council. I was done with my shirt off as a whistling belly. And they're like, he's really unique. I like what he has to say.
He's got the right stuff.
He can talk without moving his mouth. So, yeah. Yeah, that was prior to my run for student government in eighth grade.
Did you? What were you in student government?
President.
Oh, look at you all aiming for the top.
Right.
I wanted to be like sergeant at arms. I don't even know what they did.
700 people in our school, too. Booyah, that just happened.
I think it's oorah.
No.
it's oorah. I'll tell you later what the Marines say about when you say boorah, what it means when you say that.
No, don't. No, sure, yeah, it's not good.
It's not even.
You know, I just put myself out there. I feel very vulnerable right now.
I apologize.
No, don't apologize.
We were talking before the news.
This is not a safe place anymore.
It's
it
not
never
at
has
all.
Been.
No, it is not. This is not. Ask everybody. Safe place. Ask everybody. Even the people on the street, they can't stop anymore. they're too afraid.
You're here.
Yes. Oh, her again. We're all targets.
Yep. We're resigning from Team Patty tomorrow morning.
No, we accept no.
Team Patty LLC.
No resignation letters.
We are all.
It's like,
yeah. No.
We never even hired you. How can you resign?
That's exactly right. I started an LLC last week.
A what?
An LLC, Limited Liability Corporation.
Oh, you did? What's it called?
And also a nonprofit, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did both of those. With Kind Words is my nonprofit. And Team Patty is my LLC. See, that's a kind of like, that works out well. See?
You're obviously not operating under the auspices of With Kind Words tonight.
No, no. There's a time, there's a time and a place to use With Kind Words. I'm using kind words. You're just receiving them badly.
With unkind behavior.
That happens too. Craig's going to figure out when to rein this in.
Whatever. Yeah. Should we tease what's coming up?
Yes, we should tease. This happened last week. We missed you last week, Scott Santos.
I'm sorry. I was actually speaking at the University of Tulsa. Oh. I was flown down there to participate in their Humanities Year of Humor Study thing.
They only get the 1 year?
That's it. You can only be funny
next
for
year.
Humor.
Next
you can only be funny 1 year in Tulsa.
It's the year of pity.
Year of sadness. Now it's back to the oil derricks. Back to the fracking.
By the way, Craig, did we decide on when we're holding the pity party? We haven't decided. No, we're starting a new segment called the pity party. The pretty late pity party. Yes.
We haven't decided our pity party topic.
Yes. Esmeralda, do you want us to wait for a night when you're here? Because it could be on
Fridays.
Do you
want to be a part of the pity party?
Sure. Do I get to pity, or am I going to be part of the pity?
If you want to be pitied, we'll give a pity party for you.
Not really, no.
You get to party at any pity party.
Yes.
You don't have to be pitied at the party.
No, I want to pity whoever.
Yeah.
I want to pity at the party.
Yes.
Okay.
We have to pity. We go, aw. It's a lot of the, aw.
Yeah, we're going to
pity. I'm good at that.
Else
I can do that.
We're not going to pity you.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I will pity at a party.
Good.
I know some people who will perform at the pity party. I'm whistling. looking for some work. They're out of work. They're out of work.
They're for hire.
They're looking for a comeback.
They got their booking agent in studio.
Looking for a comeback.
We agree. Now you have to do it. You just offered it, so we accept.
I'm singing in the rain. Yep.
Sorry. Just singing in the rain. Stormy cloud chase.
Stormy cloud chase.
What the hell's going
Everyone from the place. I have a song in my heart. As I walk down. More after this on 720. Oh, wait.
Wait, something's coming up.
Something is coming up. Well, listeners.
Teaser. Scott likes the teaser.
He does like the teasers.
Well, you need to let the people know.
Let the people know. Let them in.
Let the people know and they shall decide.
We have a new segment created last week on the air. Craig, Senator Katowski, and myself all came up with a game called What's That From? We'll read a scene from a theatrical production. It could be a play. It could be a movie. And we invite listeners to call and guess. We have a gift certificate from Apt Electronics. Thank you so much, Steve Shapiro and Apt Electronics out in Glenview. You can go to apt.com to find out all the great electronic goods that they have out there. So 312-981-7200. We'll read a scene from a theatrical production after this on 720 WGN. Everyone's safe. Everyone's safe. No pity.
It is now time for another pretty late rendition on this masterpiece theater. Where is this from?
That was very good. What a great recording you have of that. Oh, that was live. Even more impressive,
yeah.
Craig. Is that where is this from? Or what is this from? What is this from? Yeah. What is this from?
What is this from?
Very well
there
done.
There we go.
Very nice.
Good luck to everyone.
Good luck to everyone. So 312, I have a question for you, Craig. Do we keep reading the scene even if we get a guess? Or do we stop if we get a guess?
I think that the call comes at the end.
At
so
the
you,
end.
You complete
so
the
we
scene.
Do the whole scene.
Yeah,
you
no matter what.
Sorry, Senator.
The scene must be completed.
Right. I'd just like to say
yes
to those who would have voted for me in the future.
I don't understand how this is a problem for you.
This is not a problem. I just have to say a disclaimer.
I'm doing it.
Oh, when they do the op research on that, this will come
this
up.
This is it.
Yeah,
Scott
this is
knows.
Come up.
Santa is gleeful right now. You know,
I have talked about running for office, and I've said so many things on this show that will disqualify
he's totally
me.
Totally gleeful.
Yeah. I'll put this up so you can't. Is this going to help you at all? Would that be better?
No, right that's perfect. We're going to be fine.
All right then. Fine. All right then, gentlemen. Here is a scene from What's That From?
Yeah, it's a very freeing. I can say anything to her.
Are you saying you can say things to her you can't say to me?
Nah, it's just different. It's a whole new perspective. I get the woman's point of view on things. She tells me about the men she goes out with, and I can talk to her about the women that I see.
Wait. You tell her about other women?
Yeah, like the other night. I made love to this woman, and it was so incredible. I took her to a place that wasn't human. She actually meowed.
You made a woman meow.
Yeah, that's the point. I can say these things to her. And the great thing is, I don't have to lie because I'm not always thinking about how to get her into bed. I can just be myself.
You made a woman meow?
Later, our main characters at dinner.
So, what do you do with these women? You just get up out of bed and leave?
Sure.
Well, explain to me how you do it. What do you say?
You'd say you'd have an early meeting, early haircut, or a squash game.
You don't play squash.
They don't know that. They just met me.
That's disgusting.
I know. I feel terrible.
You know, I'm glad I never got involved with you. I just would have ended up being some woman you had to get out of bed and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning and clean your andirons, and you don't even have a fireplace, and not that I would know.
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
Hey, I don't feel great about this, but I don't hear anyone complaining.
Of course not. You're out of the door too fast.
I think they have an okay time.
How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know? I know.
Because they...
Yes, because they...
And how do you know that they really...
What are you saying, that they fake orgasm?
It's possible.
Get out of here.
Why? Most women at one time or another have faked it.
Well, they haven't faked it with me.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Oh, right. That's right. I forgot. You're a man.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. It's just that all men are sure it never happened to them, and that most women at one time or another have done it, so you do the math.
You don't think I could tell the difference?
No.
Get out of here.
Oh.
Oh. Are you okay?
Oh. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, 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 God. Oh, 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 God. Oh. Mm.
The woman at the table next to them.
I'll have what she's having.
And that is our latest masterpiece, Pretty Late Theater. Rendition of
Bravissimo.
I didn't do all the yeses.
No, it's fine.
I didn't do all the yeses.
Get your own way with that. I've been through that before.
You made it your own, Patty.
I got a little,
you didn't have to make it so real.
I don't say yes. That's why I didn't do that one.
See? It was about you.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing? Everyone's a little
good.
Pink.
How about
in the...
you guys?
Oh, we're very good, thank you.
I was actually watching this movie 2 days ago.
What movie was that you were watching?
Saving Private Ryan. No.
When Harry Met Sally.
That is correct.
Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal.
At what point did you realize it was When Harry Met Sally? Was it in the scene before?
Very beginning.
Okay, just curious.
He was on hold before we got to the end part.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Wonderful. Great job, Andy. And is this a movie that you've liked for a long time?
Yeah, I always liked Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
I always thought it was a sweet movie.
Yeah.
I was surprised when Craig said it was one of his favorite, because I just think of it as something from my childhood.
Oh, I love that movie.
Andy, can I ask how old you are?
53.
So that's about the when you were dating. Were you dating when you saw this movie?
I was with a date that night, I remember.
Because I think it had to be an interesting date movie to go with somebody.
Right?
It was a rom-com, but it was about being friends, and there were a lot of complicated issues that came up during the movie. Was it a nice date movie? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Andy. Congratulations, you've won this week's What's That From? And we have a gift card from Apt Electronics. Go to apt.com. Craig will take your information. Yes, Craig, are you okay?
Yeah, no, that was great. Craig, that scene went really well.
Steamed up over there. Very well steamed up. It's all foggy in the studio over there.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how to get how far to get wrapped up in that. I was like, okay, I'm going to stop now. I just started hitting the couch.
Goodness.
When that movie came out, was that no movie had ever really talked about orgasms before, so that was kind of I was a kid, so I didn't really understand it, but it was great to hear a woman talk about like that. Like, sometimes you just want to get it over with, and that was kind of what like, it's not gonna happen, I'm just gonna go ahead and make sure that he gets there so we can carry on.
Carry on.
You just know, Esmeralda, you just know when you're not going to reach your destination.
Just
right?
Ignoring the guys.
Ignore the guys.
Well, no, think about it. You just stop midway and go, yeah, I'm done. Get off
right.
me. Like, that's going to be such a bummer
right.
for everyone.
So you help them along.
So yeah, you might as well, if you're going to enjoy it.
All right.
Usually you're not mad anyway. It's like,
no,
whatever,
exactly.
It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's fine.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the place, it's the journey.
Sometimes you say the Brussels sprouts are they're really tasty at Thanksgiving.
There you go. I really
did. Is that a metaphor?
There haven't been that many good rom-coms in a long time. What? Is it a metaphor? Orgasms and Brussels sprouts? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're not for
really
everyone.
Good. They're
not
healthy.
They're
not for everyone.
Right on.
They are healthy.
Butter.
They're better with butter?
Guys. More from the 708. That was the best possible transition from a political conversation to that scene. Good luck, Senator Katowski.
No! Thank you.
Yeah. Well, he is. Yes. Yes, Craig.
That's the end of the text. I don't have anything else to add at this time.
Yeah. All right.
That's fine. You know how, like in a basketball game, when a guy does a really crazy dunk, they should take their shoe off and just like throw it in the air or throw the ball in the air or something? At the end of that scene, I kind of felt like you should have taken your microphone and just thrown it.
Dropped it.
Yeah. Dropped the mic, something like that.
I know, it got awkward there for a minute because I was like, I'm going
to. I was expecting more yeses.
I was waiting
the next stage direction. We were waiting for the rest of it.
Right. I did the sigh. I did the. Because then she sort of shakes her hair and
well,
keeps
and
eating.
Bang the table,
yeah,
too.
And keeps eating the salad.
Good job.
Really good.
That is important. This is well done. This is a really good segment we're doing.
I really enjoyed your reenactment of how I was banging.
Yeah, that's, you did it like this. You smacked it. That's a thing.
Going to ask, have there been any good rom-coms recently in the last few years?
I mean, define what you think a good rom-com is, because Love Actually came out in the last 10 or so years, and some people like it, some people hate it.
I don't hate it, but I think it's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's more of a, isn't that sort of a collection of stories?
Yeah, it's still a romantic comedy, though.
Are there any romantic comedies that you like?
Oh, sure. I mean, one of my favorites.
The Notebook?
My favorite is Serendipity with John Cusack.
Really?
I love that movie.
It's a cute movie.
I love it. I just love it. I can't ever turn it off.
Wow.
Yeah. I love Say Anything, too, but that's from dating myself.
Big John Cusack fan over here.
Huge. Huge. High Fidelity. That's not a rom-com, though. But is it?
I don't know.
No. But I love, Serendipity is one of my favorites.
His Girl Friday is Cary Grant, Rosalind.
That's
Russell.
A great
that's
romance.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
God.
A thing.
It's the best.
Well, and
the
any of the
best.
Couple of the Philadelphia Story.
That's great.
That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird rom com because like she's getting married to somebody else, and then she starts flirting with Jimmy Stewart, and
or more than
and
flirting.
Then, I know, and then and then Cary Grant, and it all gets
like how Scott said, there's more than one.
If you know what I'm saying, Bringing Up Baby is
terrific. That's a great movie.
Yeah. What's that?
Bringing Up Baby.
Yeah.
Also Cary Grant. Yeah.
I love films that are older than.
We are getting
Golden Pond was a
great
rom-com.
Craig.
We are getting text reactions to our last segment.
Yes.
From the 815. Ha 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 ha! Bravo! I was half listening, and then all of a sudden, yowza! Sure got my attention.
Yeah, we went from Hillary Clinton to faking an orgasm. It was
come on.
The best bridge ever.
Come on.
The first time that I've seen yowza written in the text as well.
Yowza.
I felt that I delivered enough that if I push it too far.
I mean, from the 815, it's in all caps. That is an all caps yowza.
Really?
Cap lock. You got cap lock.
See, they'll vote for you, Senator.
Thank you. It's like that. As long as I bring Patty. Is Patty coming?
Can you have all these? Yes, on the campaign sign.
Yes,
Katowski. Yes. Oh,
nice
yes,
to see
yes,
you,
yes,
Dan.
Yes.
Patty here? Where's Patty?
We don't have enough
Where's
of
your
a commercial
friend?
Break.
Where's your friend for the radio?
We should take one at this point. We have like 30 seconds. This is a full-on melt. Holy God.
Oh, no. So many things that could have been said throughout that stretch that were not said.
Right, that's
true. It's all good. Thank you very much, everybody.
You just went Elvis on.
You're dismissed, just so you know.
Okay, am
you,
I really?
Yeah. You said you had to leave by one.
I know, and I'm having so much fun. I love this show.
Thank you. Yeah. You're welcome to stay. I don't know what we're going to I have nothing planned for after 1
a.m. Oh,
really?
We do. I'm just kidding.
She's a pro.
We can pull more scenes.
We have more scenes.
What's going on tonight? What are we doing tonight?
Do you want something from a Woody Allen movie next? What do you want?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Esmeralda, how are you doing up there?
Great. Did anyone catch that one line?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it was. Wait for it. Here it comes.
Like, okay. Yeah. Do I have to keep screaming?
I'll have what she's having.
You did very well.
Oh, no. I was talking. Someone said.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Which yeah, line? Craig went like this. Craig waved me off on that one. Yeah. Yes.
Did he wave me off? Waved off?
We all left.
He went air traffic controller on you?
he said don't go after that one.
Don't land the plane there.
Do you want me to take a break?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's take a break.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
What was that music? That was like, Late Night with Patty.
That's right.
The name of that band is Yummy Brigham.
Of course.
Something like that.
Why
Bingham?
Wouldn't it be? So it's like a slow jazz Mormons?
I believe this is more of the hip-hop variety of music.
Right. Yeah.
But it's the name of the song is One More Chance, and it's on my music stuff. So I played it.
I liked it.
Thank you.
Do we have any other thoughts from our tech screen?
We do. There are more comments. Do you want me to read them all?
I don't know. You pick and choose.
Read some. Okay.
I'm sure there
are a lot of people congratulating you. Let's say it that way. A lot of people saying that you did a good job really getting into the character.
totally believe it.
Any distressed individuals?
Yeah. Oh. Other people talking about how great the movie is.
Oh, it's such a great
best
movie.
Line in that movie. I'll have what she's having. Yes. Second best line. You make me want to be a better man.
There you go.
So there's that.
Actually, one of our very best friends was in that film. Honest to goodness, she was an extra in the last scene, the New
one
Year's
of our
Eve.
Your best
not
friend.
Not ours, mine, not ours.
I was going to say.
But if you met her, you'd like her.
You see,
Nancy
like
was in this film. And this was when we got the DVD, this new technology back in the day. And we got that film. We were watching it with her and said, where were you? And we froze it. And you can actually, way in the back of the room, there she is.
Oh, how cool.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, it is.
We were talking yesterday about my best friend's wedding. I'm in several scenes that you can't
see. Are you really?
You have to still pause. In the church scene, if you pause it when everyone gets up for Cameron Diaz coming down the aisle, there's a shot from the balcony and you know that it's me. I'm in a silvery blue dress, and because everyone turns to their right and because I'm left-handed, I'm the only person that on my side of the aisle, which I'm on the left side of the aisle, I turn to my left. So everyone turns this way toward the bride. I take the long way around and turn around to the left. I didn't do it thinking, this is how people will see me on the DVD and they'll
can
pause
it. Can you really see you? I mean, can you tell
you? Can't tell it's me. Oh. I'm just telling you, I'm the one that turned to the left. I have like this very pretty gown on, actually. But
nice.
Yeah. So that's my one. It's a couple of movies. If you pause, you can see me as an extra in the background as well.
I am tempted to not read this text on air, but I'm going to go ahead and do it just because I'm confused. From the 214, just to let you know, I've notified the FCC. First, there was Patty's melt, and then Senator Katowski saying ORG, which I assume means orgy.
ORG.
I'm very confused. I think he said his website is .org.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually the website. And by the way, after 10 o'clock, there was no ability to complain.
And there was no language that was inappropriate.
Yeah, actually, it was literally a scene from a movie, 214. But
thank you for being concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. Good talk.
And giving us a heads up. I think that was very generous.
America salutes you.
But just to answer the one question here that I was really most confused by, Senator Katowski saying ORG is the end of his website.
There you go.
.org.
That's the website. I'm showing Scott a picture of my son and my husband walking through the hallways of Griffin's new high school. I know.
Oh.
Griffin's going to high school next year.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he was accepted to an academic center. And rather than going into seventh grade at the school he is now attending, he will be going to high school next year. So it's kind of weird. I know. He didn't get into my alma mater. And we didn't pick it. He would have gotten accepted, but we decided to pick as our top school a school closer to us. And I had some mixed emotions about that. When I actually persuaded Steve to make the school that we chose the number one choice because it's closer to us. But as much as I loved Lane Tech, it's also a school of over 5,000 students. And for me, it was for me, it was hard enough. I didn't really get my bearings until I was a junior. I really didn't figure things out and kind of understand how things worked until I was the third year
Holy
in.
Holy Mary, that is a huge school.
Quick it's question
really
about that
big.
School.
Yeah.
How did you get from classes? Yeah. Did you ever have a class like all the way in the second floor in the corner to the first floor in the other corner?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. How do you even
It was a four minute passing period. If you're ever on a busy in a crowded room with me or on a busy street, like I will take you and cut you through all the, like I will weave my way through a big crowd. I don't care if I step on people's heels. I just make my way through because you had to get to your classes on time.
I imagine it's like a run Lola run situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Just dodging, like find, go low, go high. Go, it's, you know, making your way through. But I just Jason think with Griffin going into seventh grade that Lang Tech was really the best place for him? It has a great program. Academically, it's one of the best schools in the country. But the program he's going into, I think, is better suited for what he needs. And I chose that.
So
it was a little painful for me to go into the competitor school. I can't tell you because we prefer not to disclose.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but yeah, so it was a little hard for me to go in there. Like, I had a lot of friends that went to school there, and it was always our rival. So it was very strange.
Oh, that is strange. It must be really weird just to see your kid, like,
I know, going off to high school.
We're 2 years ahead of the schedule.
Yeah, we suspected he might. They have these tests for all, by the way, all CPS. If anyone has a child in CPS, and if you have a child going into sixth grade next year, you can take this test. Any sixth grader can, and I believe any seventh grader can also get into the academic centers. It's not just for the options program, and it's an accelerated program. They can start taking about high school level algebra. They take the constitution test in seventh grade rather than freshman year of high school, that kind of stuff. Yeah, they do all of it. They start earning high school credit in seventh and eighth grade, and then by the time they are juniors, they can earn college credit in junior year. I know. Yeah, his program is a 6-year baccalaureate program.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Does he know what he wants to do?
I'm
just curious because he's already like taking classes, so I would think
he's really good at staying open. But he's extraordinary at math. It's going to be weird because his pace car is going to be going to Lane Tech. The kid that's a little bit better than him on math is going to be gone, so he won't have his pace car anymore. That'll be weird because he's always been kind of chasing that kid. You know,
there'll be others.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. There'll be a bigger program.
Are you good at math?
No. Steve is very good at math.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm a math agnostic. I just don't believe it exists.
Craig is our mathematician on the show. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a...
Wow. I don't know why that was so surprising.
No, just because, like I said...
Craig is our mathematician. Really? He doesn't seem to get that stuff. Yeah. No, I can do math. I, like it.
All right.
I remember I asked Griffin. Griffin was doing some work, and I'm like, you didn't show your work, like with the with division and stuff. They don't have to show their work anymore. Like, it's done differently now.
What?
Yes.
Oh no,
like page-long work.
No, yeah. I hated showing my work, and because I got the right answer at the end of the day.
But show me your
the
work.
Answer is 14, and I would get there. It may be creative. It may be through the woods. It may have a drawing of kitty cats. However I got there, I got there. How I got there should not have mattered. It mattered a lot to our teachers. And it was silly.
I know.
And that's why I hate math to this day.
I kind of like doing the work.
Me too.
Because it was this big, long thing. But then I hated when it would go into the corner.
Oh, yeah. It would start drifting off and I'd run out of room.
I hated that. Mm-hmm.
That's what I
was. I was more into the neatness of math than the actual math.
There are some great apps actually, like for your iPad and for your phone, to do algebra and things if you want to start practicing.
No,
not
what
I'm just yeah.
What for?
It runs against my faith. I'm telling you.
Well, it's good for your brain to try new things and challenge yourself. Okay.
You know what? I had to take those classes. I'm good now. I learned that I don't need it.
Done. Passed it.
Craig, done.
Craig, would you do like algebra apps or like a geometry app? Would you work on?
Yeah, that sounds fun. I mean, I like to do a lot of math in my head. That's something I wouldn't want to use the apps or anything, but I yeah.
How far did you get in math? Are you like calculus and all that?
Yeah. Actually tutored that in college for a scholarship.
Really?
Yes.
Full disclosure, never took calculus.
Oh.
I didn't either.
Never.
You guys want to learn it?
No.
Okay. No.
Sorry.
We actually, in high school, we only needed 2 years of math, but 4 of gym. Figure that one out.
Well, I think that kind of makes
sense-ish.
Sense. Yeah. I took trig, geometry, and algebra. Those are the only 3 I had to take. And I probably should have done more.
You know how calculus was invented? This is an amazing story. Sir Isaac Newton, they had a math. He was in a science group. They had a math question. Craig probably already knows this. They had a math question. They couldn't figure it out. He left, came back 3 weeks later, and had invented calculus to figure out this. Yeah.
See, that's just overachieving right there.
Yeah.
Who needs that kind of nonsense?
But then he was beaned on the head with an apple. So
well, I can't add 2 and 2 together. Well, I can. Here's,
sure you can.
Here's a couple of spots. More after this on 720. I feel really bad. Scott said he didn't know what my husband looked like, and I'm like trying to find pictures of Steve, and I can't find one. Hold on. Yeah, he exists.
I don't think Steve. No, he does.
No, he does. Totally exists. Yeah. Here, have a junior mitt and be quiet.
Is Steve like it's S period T period E period V period E period? Because he's a robot?
That was a long way to go, but that was nice. I like that. Yes. No, I've met Steve. He's a real human.
He's a real nice guy. Smelda, haven't you met Steve?
No.
Oh.
I have not.
Yeah, I had ice cream with Steve.
So I'm still thinking he's a robot. Right.
No.
Fair enough.
Robots can't eat ice cream. That's a well-known fact. And yeah, Steve had ice cream.
Yeah, they can if they have a chute that's for food only, and then
but it would melt.
Gathers, yeah, it gathers in a container. You just have to empty it later.
I don't understand what's
that's right. A high-tech robot.
Yeah.
The woman makes sense.
Well, his name is Steve.
S period T period E period.
I got all that.
Tell us what V did that was horrible. Yesterday we found out V did something terrible.
What?
No, he didn't.
Dr. Lars Dingman said that Esmeralda was in some sort of horrible, you know.
Well, sometimes they just don't know what's going on.
I don't know. We need to know now.
Right
tell
now.
Us what he did.
Right
it's okay.
Now. Mm-hmm.
We'll bring him in here and yell at him.
Oh, no, we won't do that.
Okay, we won't.
He's pretty nice. And he seems like he would.
Yeah, he's a really sweet guy.
He hasn't done anything.
Yeah. And he's also not a robot.
No.
This is something I can
confirm. No, he isn't.
Mm-hmm. No robots here. No one in the show dates robots.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, not currently.
Is it an option?
I don't know. Well, what are you saying, Scott?
Nothing.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Moving on.
Well, yeah, we had a topic. Didn't we have a topic or something?
I'm sure we have topics.
No, we had a topic.
We're looking for Steve. Apparently, she has no pictures.
Has
of
someone
her
been
husband.
Convicted in bribery for the parking meters?
Yeah, he pled guilty.
He pled guilty
to taking $90,000 in bribes or kickbacks, rather, to
get the contract done
to push a contract for $22 million worth of those machines. That is fun. I laugh because walking around the city, you see tourists staring at it. Hoping that they can change it somehow with their minds.
Please be different. Please be better. I have gotten comfortable with the parking meters because I have an app on my phone, and now I don't have to like leave a restaurant or if I.
Oh, does that work?
Oh, absolutely. You can just extend the time.
It was kind of hinky initially.
Never. Like, I've never had a problem.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I can extend the amount of time I have on my meter. But, you know, we spent all the money that we were given.
Oh, yeah.
We spent all of it within 2 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a 75-year contract.
Yes.
And so I would think, I mean, I know that Daly, doesn't former Mayor Daly now work for the law firm or do contract work for them that created the contract?
I'm sure. Why not?
This
is Chicago. That's how they roll.
I mean, legally, there should be some way. Like, if it was based on, you know, ill-gotten gains, shouldn't it be null and void, or shouldn't there be some sort of a way to tear it apart?
Is it ill-gotten? It's a weird
ill-gotten
case.
Gains?
It's a weird case too because it's a bribery case that doesn't include an elected official of Chicago, which is rare. It's actually a person who works for the company.
The company.
And so the company that.
So who was he getting bribes from? He was getting bribes from the company?
He actually goes out and gets the contracts for the machines.
Okay.
And he was getting kickbacks for that. So, you know, Patty Co. makes the parking.
Team Patty.
Mm-hmm. A limited corporation.
That's right. Limited liability corporation.
Yes. An LLC.
Yes.
Where did you file that, by the way? Is that.
State of Illinois. You can go to.
You didn't do it Delaware?
ILstate.gov. No. Not okay. Delaware. Why would I do it in Delaware? I operate in the state of Illinois.
Because everyone does it in Delaware.
Oh, no.
That's apparently what you do in Delaware. What else is there to do in Delaware? Have you ever been to Delaware?
No, I follow the laws of the state in which I reside.
Following the law. It's still legal. It's just for some reason people tell you to file there.
Oh, no, I did not do that.
Anyway.
Maybe I'll multi-file. I don't know.
Anyway, the company, Team Patty, LLC. Makes these machines, and you said, "Well, we can, you know, give us the $22 million contract. You buy our machines, we'll kick a little bit your way, and you know, make your life a little easier."
There you go.
And that's what happened here. So it's not like the red light cameras where they
any better
just straightforward bribery.
And where are we at with that? With the judge that said that they are not legal, there was a judge that said that the red light cameras.
I was probably in Tulsa when this happened.
Well, oh,
that's
I believe
my excuse for
I could be wrong, but I believe there was a judge that
said you can't
ruled
do that.
That they were. I don't know what the exact judgment was, but they weren't viable forms of issuing tickets.
But Patty,
what? Yes,
it's for the kids,
right? This was a fun education.
That's what our mayor says.
That is going
it's
so
always for the kids.
So very very well.
Oh, the schools are just great.
The
teachers are happy in teaching. The children are. Happy and gay, and I'm just in a totally 1930s context. Yeah.
That was one thing. You weren't in town last week to talk about the teachers' rally that happened.
Yeah,
and the debacle that followed because there was a teacher that got on stage and said "F the police department."
Oh, there were signs in the crowd that were "Let's bring on socialism." I mean, it was a weird. It's a radical union, and there's radicalized members, and it was
Not a good moment.
It was not a good moment. You know, whatever the issues were, whatever the sort of goodwill that might have been expressed by people who supported teachers was not long, because especially between, why would you go after the police department when you're, you know, you're both benefiting from pensions. You're both union members. It doesn't make any sense to devour each other in a situation
right. And
like
what
that.
Does, I mean, Black Lives Matter has marched with them. They had, I mean, there's a bunch of other groups that you guys go, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truly. I mean, and let's face it, teachers, they could create or rather articulate, you know, a grievance that could be that may or may not be correct. I'm not, you know, I think that the contract they turned down was pretty nice given the financial atmosphere we're in now. But
right.
Regardless, you know, yeah, teachers are amazing. And when you have an amazing teacher, it changes your life. I had an amazing teacher, Parnell Edmund Bach.
Oh,
was a
just
teacher.
The one out of all the years?
I was a tough student. I was challenging.
I'm not questioning. I shouldn't question it that way. But I mean, like, I can't. I don't think I can think of very many either. And you would think of.
I have his picture over my desk here in the Tribune Tower.
Oh, you do?
I do.
What's his name again?
Parnell Edmund Bach. He passed away a number of years ago.
Oh.
And but he's one of the heroes, and he changed my life. He was one of the few teachers who thought that I wasn't developmentally disabled,
mm-hmm.
and I was worth the time and effort. I was doing a portrait. My uncle passed away. Quick story, passed mm-hmm. away. I was working on a portrait for my aunt, and it wasn't coming well, and it was during the summer break. I called Mr. Bach at home. I said, I'm having trouble with this. He goes, where do you live? I gave him my address. He said, I'll be over there in an hour. He came to my house
what?
For like 2 hours helping with his painting.
Oh, see, you are worth it.
Oh, he thought so. Oh. So
he's not the only one. More after this at 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I am joined by the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
That's me.
And I asked you earlier if you and Jeannie get a chance to go to movies very often.
We don't. Janine hates that about me.
She hates that you don't go to the movies?
I hate going to the movies.
Why do you hate going to movies?
I don't like audiences. I don't like people.
Ooh.
No, because here's the thing. If you see a film with a really good audience, it can be great.
Yes.
But how many times does that happen now? I'm always stuck next to some idiot who's checking his texts every 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
or some other group that's talking, mm-hmm. or the person behind me is kicking me. So
matinees.
What mm-hmm. about?
Go to matinees.
Nobody's in there.
Yep. I went to a movie theater by myself one day. I mean, nobody was in the theater during a matinee.
Oh, nice. What did you see?
I saw Batman versus Superman. Craig, I needed to see it before we had a conversation about it.
Yeah, no, that's it's
is Craig making a face?
Yeah, he really hates
it. It's the worst movie ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
No,
dude.
I mean, that's obviously
it was disappointing.
That is a very high bar.
Yeah,
right. It's a terrible movie, though.
It's
why is it so terrible?
We were disappointed.
My son saw it and thought it was.
Did you see it, Scott?
I have not.
Okay, I can't talk to you until you see it.
All right.
Then. Yeah, fair enough.
You can't or you won't?
I could. I can't.
And then if you like it, he still can't talk to you.
Yeah, then I don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It gets awkward.
There will be blood.
It gets very awkward. It's funny you should mention, and I think many people would comment on the propensity of people to look at their phones. I try to check my phone. I'll check it once during the previews, and then as soon as, you know, that's all done, I leave it in my purse. I have it on vibrate. If anyone needs me, I will leave the theater and check it like in the VOM or the...
Yeah. Put the lobby. Damn phone away.
Well, the CEO of AMC Entertainment has posited that perhaps he will have some theaters that do allow for texting, and it seems as though not just allow but encourage texting.
Wait,
he says you can't really tell.
How do you do that?
A millennial to
They're
turn the
bright.
Phone off.
Yes, you can. Mm. Let me show you how. Turn the damn phone off.
He basically said it's like telling them to cut off their arm. So he's willing to experiment, and he's pushing to expand AMC's food options as well. But he thinks that perhaps there should be a space for maybe some designated theaters for texting abilities.
Yeah, in the back. In the back.
Back.
Where no one can see you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No. The filmmaker made the film for you to sit there and look at the art they've created.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to make some theaters texting and mobile device friendly.
Will the other ones then have jamming and stuff so they can't use it?
That's a good point.
That would be awesome.
Right, because in those theaters, then it becomes a violent situation if someone does, because it's a strictly anti-texting mobile device.
Oh, God, I would pay extra to go to that theater.
What about small children in inappropriate
movies?
I don't
mind. I had children. I was a child.
Right. But in movies like Batman versus Superman, right, Craig, you had kids that were in the movie theater that were way too young.
Yeah, way too young, I thought.
We actually went to go see a play where there was an infant and it was crying and laughing throughout the entire play.
Now, see, that's distracting. The parents should take them out. I went to my youngest
one. I don't mean to interrupt your snack.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, please, Scott, chew if you want to. There is a quick text from the 312. Yeah. I'm such a fan of Scott and Patty together. You guys are so funny. And how funny that Patty can't find a picture of Steve. Why doesn't Scott draw what he thinks Steve looks like?
That would be a blast. We should do that next time or this time. You can describe him to me. I'll be like a police artist.
I saved one on this phone. Anyways, go ahead.
I took my youngest boy. He was a little under the age to go by himself to go see Team America, which was the South Park guys. And there's... It is very crude, a lot of crude language. There's an extended sex scene with marionettes, which is hilarious. But my son and I are sitting there. We're pretty much, we went to the late show. I don't know why, but it was the late show. And this family shows up.
Right.
This mother, father, and three little kids. And I'm going, okay. And my son's going, why are they in here?
Right.
I'm going, mom and dad saw the poster. It was puppets. And they thought, well.
It's a good point.
It's family night.
Yeah, that makes sense.
During the extended sex scene is when they left.
that's what drove them out of the theater?
That's the one thing that drove them out.
Were you ever in a theater with your kids? It felt awkward? I mean,
I walked out with them. I would, if they were loud, I mean, we tried once.
If they were loud, but what if the content was not what you thought was appropriate for your kids? Did you ever take them out of a theater?
Never. Because Janine in particular is the responsible parent, and she actually researched it to make sure that everything was copacetic.
My parents never researched anything. Steve did fast forward through a scene in Matrix 2, whatever the Matrix 2 movie is called, but there's a scene that it's funny because there's all this violence and bullets and fighting, but then there's a scene where the guy is like making people do things to each other in the, like that restaurant. Do you remember?
No, that's Matrix Reloaded, by the way.
Reloaded, right. And Steve was, I'm like, why are you fast forwarding? It was like, it's not okay. And I was like, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, would you let your kids watch violence or sex or neither or both?
Apparently, we're okay with violence and not sex yet. I'm serious.
That is so bizarre.
I agree. I didn't have the remote. I was like, I mean, The Matrix is kind of a violent. Am I wrong? It's kind of a violent movie.
Oh yeah, no. There's people get blown away all the time.
There's all kinds of.
No, I was. We went. What did I go see? The and this is a million years ago, of course, because I don't go see movies. If you ask my wife, Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to Mars. Total Recall.
Okay.
And there's a scene where he's being shot at and he's shooting at the bad guys and he grabs someone on an escalator and uses them as a human shield where this poor schmuck is getting blown to bits. That guy has a mother, you know, who loves him. That person has. I was disgusted by that. I told my kids that and they just stared at me, which they so often do.
I'm not staring at you, but it's adorable.
It's true, though. I hate that violence is entertainment. To that degree where human beings are no longer...
Disposable. They're disposable.
Yeah, they're not things. They're just things. You're shooting a carpet or you're shooting an easy chair.
Well, we were watching The Terminator. We watched Terminator and Terminator 2. So we watched... those are both very violent movies.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
But all of a sudden, I'm like, what's happening to the movie? And I just wanted to fast forward. I thought that was so strange.
Wait, Steve was fast forwarding?
I wasn't fast forwarding. Steve was fast forwarding.
Through what?
Through nude scenes. He fast forwarded through.
Wait, there's what nude scene?
In The Matrix. Well, there's one scene where Keanu and Trinity are before they're going to go out do a mission, or they're going to do the next thing. They're in bed together, and then there's another scene in a restaurant where there's some nudity, and I don't know because Steve fast forwarded through it.
Yeah, is he fast forwarding because this isn't for the children, or this is going to get weird in front of my kids?
But how is it?
Let's just fast forward.
But I mean, to Scott's point, the violence should be weird too, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we're desensitized.
Is it at all because he's a boy too?
I don't know.
Do you think that if you had a girl, it would have been different?
Oh no, that would be worse.
Worse. Yeah, that's weirder. Worse.
Would the violence also not be acceptable though?
See, okay, so in my household, violence was okay. The sex scenes were not. We always left movies when there was too much sex in the movie.
My father...
Until Basic Instinct, because then it was sort of a conjoining of the two things, and my dad was very confused.
My father, when I was 13, did the unthinkable. He actually took a day off from work. I mean, this is a guy who never, ever, ever, never, ever did that. And he took me out and said, today's your day. And I thought it was so sweet. I said, let's go to a movie. Let's go to matinee. And it was a choice of two movies playing in Madison, Wisconsin, back in whenever I turned 13. And the choices were The Godfather.
Ooh.
or the frogs. Now, I knew
What's
from
the frogs.
Oh, it's a legend in the Stannis household now. It is maybe
because you chose it over the Godfather.
You think Batman versus Superman was bad? The frogs is far worse.
Please find the frogs. For
you
me.
Literally
Tell
something
me about
like
it.
Moss. There's a scene where someone gets killed by moss. I'm not killing.
By moss?
He gets suffocated by moss, and then when he's dead, they cut
is
to a close-up of a frog.
Is it moving moss or is it just dense moss?
It's both. It's moving.
Frogs, a group of hapless victims, celebrate a birthday on an island estate crawling with killer amphibians, birds, insects, and reptiles.
They don't mention the moss. Anyway, but I knew from other friends that there was a sex scene, a nude sex scene in The Godfather. You know, okay. And Michael goes to Italy and gets married and the innocent and all that. Then they get naked. And I thought, at 13, nothing mortifies you more than seeing a scene like that with your dad. So I opted for the frogs. And in fact, this will surprise you. It was my dad and I and a wino in the front row who was passed out and snoring.
At frogs?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had the best time. We had absolutely the best time. It was almost like an MST3K moment, Mystery Science Theater, where we just riffed on the movie.
That's kind of fun.
It was great. It was legendary. Janine found it and bought it, and it is worse than I remember it being. It is horrible.
Was it fun to then do the commentary on it again?
Oh,
or no?
Yeah. Yeah.
And have that memory of it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still trying to find a picture of my husband, Steve. I have a picture. Should I show a picture of me?
Do you have to go on? Can you Google him?
How about me and Jerry O'Connell? He kind of looks like Jerry O'Connell. Does that work? He looks kind of like that. That was
Jerry O'Connell will play Steve.
Yeah.
Well, there's Jerry O'Connell. I see him with you, but that doesn't really
Steve.
Tell me what Steve looks like.
I have a picture
like.
Of me and you. I have a lot of pictures. I have like 2,000 selfies. I can't find a picture.
What T-shirt am I wearing that?
You are wearing Property of the Bears.
You know, that's an interesting question, Patty. You'd take a lot of selfies at work and a lot of selfies when you're kind of out and about. You obviously wouldn't take them at home, though.
Right.
Right.
Why not?
Selfies does not extend at home.
Why not?
That's not a selfie position.
She's got the claw there.
No, why would you do that at home?
Here's a side picture of Steve with the boys on a train. We were at the day out with Thomas.
A little bit of side Steve?
Side Steve.
Nice.
It's a little side Steve.
Aw.
He's a handsome guy.
He is.
All right, then.
Is he Irish?
He's very Irish.
Yeah.
He's Irish McIrishy. and a dash of Welsh.
So he's sober here, though.
He's almost. Oh, he's one of those guys that, you know, he never gets drunk. I've only once, and I won't tell this story, but I've only once ever seen him overindulge in alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It was a long night. Poor guy.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a rough night.
Vomiting.
It was a Christmas party for a company we used to work for.
Oh, sure. He goes to that. I invite you to dinner. He won't come.
That was his. He worked there. It was his office party.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
his
right.
bosses were there.
Because I said, you guys could come, and you told him later, and he said, what did he say? Something like, oh, that sounds horrible.
That sounds horrible. A salon. We're going to sit around and have conversations over cocktails. That sounds horrible.
Oh, my God. That's not
like that. Sitting around in someone's living room. What?
They do in hell.
It's funny because he's actually quite chatty, but it's like it's almost like he ramps himself up. And
is he chatty, Craig?
I like Steve. Steve's a great guy.
You've met him once.
I liked him the one time I met him. That's all it takes, guys.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. That's the only time she could rent the guy to be Steve.
I think I have other pictures of him. I feel very badly about this.
You don't have pictures.
There are
of
no
Steve.
Pictures of him on Facebook, by the way. That's something that I am not allowed to do at all.
That's probably actually, I get
well, yeah,
that. I suppose. He doesn't have a face page?
No.
Face page.
His Facebook friends page? Tag me on their Facebook pages, like, passes along to your husband. That gets old pretty fast. That Jabba the Hutt on the lawn ornament, that's from one of Steve's friends. They wanted to tag Steve. There's this huge, like, inflatable, you know, like for Halloween and Christmas, you have these huge, like, snowmen and stuff. Someone's made a Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, that's awesome. With Princess Leia?
No, just Jabba.
Princess Leia, they probably get stolen right like first night.
Well, Craig doesn't think that even Jabba would last that long. Right?
I think that your wife might ask you to take it, or whoever, whichever one is the fan, wants it up, and probably the partner doesn't want it up.
You're saying Betty wouldn't like that?
Yeah, no, for me specifically, Betty would want that down very quickly. But I assume that you'd have to be pretty lucky to have two people very into a giant Jabba the Hutt inflatable doll.
Oh, my God,
no,
we would
yard.
Totally do that. Are you kidding
do
me?
Do you even have a yard? You don't have a yard?
No. But
right.
Well,
where would you put it? Where would you put your Jabba?
On the roof of your condo?
We do have a house down in Birmingham.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, the Christians would come by and condemn us, but, you know.
Who lives in that house in Birmingham? Anybody?
My son lives in the basement. He's a cliche. What can I tell you? He does. He lives in the basement.
Because you can't just leave Jabba there with nobody.
No.
He's got to be watched by someone.
Yes. They're ever vigilant.
Ever vigilant country, must watch. The Jabba. A blow-up Jabba. That's kind of cool, though.
It's
I love
very
the
cool.
idea.
I'm still looking for pictures. I can't take a break yet. Okay, you know what? Maybe during the break, I'll try to find a picture, too.
Yeah, good luck.
It makes for good radio. More after this on 720 WGN. It is time for the Pretty Late Wake-Up Call. We call friends of the show. Sometimes we have the opportunity to call a celebrity. We also take requests, and we've I believe this is actually Craig's request to call your son, Scott
Yeah,
Stantis.
My son, Trevor Burton Fetich Stantis.
Fetich?
That's one of his middle names. That's Janine's maiden name.
Oh, I like
good
that.
Good Slav name.
It's good to use a middle name for a maiden name for a middle name. Steve's middle name is his mother's maiden name.
Oh.
It's a good way to pass it along,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Are we? Oh, should I put it on the air? Oh, what happened?
So here's the thing. His phone doesn't ring, so I'm going to have to put it on hold real quick. He's already turned it off, but I guess we will leave a voicemail.
Oh,
for
he
Scott
turned off his phone?
Oh,
okay,
wow.
It's very off.
Oh, all right. It rang, and then he answered it and hung up? Oh, there you go.
Did he answer it?
No, he said he didn't.
No. Okay, just there it is.
All right.
That's my boy.
What area code is that?
205.
205. What's, yeah, what area code
you're
is that?
You're probably trying to call for Trevor Stantis, but unfortunately, he's unavailable right now.
That's him.
He might be exercising, stretching, gallivanting around town, or maybe just eating a sandwich, which we all know it is rude to talk with your mouth full. So please, leave your name and number, and he'll call you back as early as convenient.
That's my boy.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Trevor. This is Patty Vasquez.
And Scott Stantis.
And it is Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
And we hope that you're gallivanting. Of all those choices, maybe, I mean, what do you prefer, Scott, that you're
eating a sandwich would be safest.
Safest?
Although you can choke on those. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I will hope he's not gallivanting, exercising while eating a sandwich.
Right. That would just be bad.
I do like all the different choices that were offered.
Yes.
There.
Yes. That he actually is not British. He does not have the...
Hey.
It was...
I was impressed. I you could have fooled me.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's one of the most creative, amazing guys I know. He really is. It's kind of cool that you think that way about
him. Just because you know he's going to listen to this message doesn't mean you have to, like, he knows
I've
you
said,
love
I've
him.
That. I've said that How to much him. More? Well, I hope he knows that.
All right, then. Well, this is a good way. Is this when you're telling him? I hope you tell
yes,
him other times.
Yes, usually with fear, but.
Yeah, no, Scott, yes. Tell him all the things you love about him. Let's do this.
Yes.
What Aww. Do you love about your little boy?
Oh, my little Trev. Oh, yeah, so many things.
Well, we hope we have the opportunity to meet Trevor someday.
Oh, he's great.
Trevor Fetich. What was the other name?
Trevor Burton Fetich Stantis.
Oh, Fetich. Trevor Burton Fetich Stantis.
Yes.
The third.
No. He's
oh,
just,
okay. Just, we can add the third if he
I
wants
always
to.
I figured if he was going to be an actor, he would be Trevor Burton. He'd just take his first
it's
two
a good
names.
Name.
That's a great name.
It's like
name.
A Richard Burton kind of a sound to it.
Yes.
Okay, well.
A story that spans the ages, starring Trevor Burton.
So you guys like to
As you've
voices.
Never seen him before.
Do you all just do voices around the table?
There's voices in my head.
I think Craig just broke something in the producer's booth.
I love so you obviously all like voices.
Yeah.
Once Scott broke out in one, we're like, oh, so this is a family.
This is a family thing.
And you guys all do this.
Yeah, it's a family. Yeah, the voices.
It makes sense in our heads.
Schizophrenia is
it's rampant.
It's genetic. It's passed from generation to generation. Our neuroses go on.
With great love.
Hey, real quick, Trevor, just to let you know, we had an amazing show this evening. Your dad was a part of it.
Yes, he was.
We did a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
From a movie?
Of, wonderful
when Harry
rendition.
Met Sally, yeah.
He played the role of Jess, which was portrayed originally by Bruno Kirby, the mm-hmm. great Bruno Kirby.
You have reached the maximum.
No!
Oh, he has a very short.
Yeah, that was super short.
Your message.
He has a very short capacity. We've realized it.
He never checks them, so it may have been close to full when we called.
I don't know. That seemed very short.
Janine and I have a test. We it's kind of a fun little thing. We say, how long will we be dead? Let's say there's a gas leak.
Right.
Before our sons, this is the difference between sons and daughters, I'm convinced of this, know that we're dead. And we took it to about 8 months because the automatic payment, the bank account would run out of money for the auto
It would
payments.
Be completely depleted.
Yeah, and so they'd say, why isn't there electricity on? And then they, you
but-
know.
Does it generally take? Do you like do that game where you're like, well, let him call us first?
Oh God, we would be dead. there would be the asteroid would have hit the Earth. The sun would have exploded.
You don't play that game.
Wait.
How often do you call your sons?
Often enough. How often do they actually answer? That's another. Actually, when Spencer, the older one, was living in New Zealand, we talked once a week. We Skyped once a week.
Do you ever text like random things that just pop
sometimes,
into your head?
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah, and sometimes he'll do that too. So.
Do you make him feel bad?
Oh, yes.
They don't call. You go, well, Since you haven't called,
we're Catholic.
This has happened.
What do you think?
Oh boy!
What are some of the other voices you guys do when you call each other?
Yeah, really.
Sometimes we Alphonse.
Oh dear.
While in New Zealand, were there any New Zealand accents? Australian?
No, my oldest boy's wife made fun of me for trying to do a New Zealand accent. She didn't think it was authentic.
Does it differ from Australia?
It's much softer. You know, Australia accents and seriously, I mean, donkey, donkey, winky, donkey, dolly. And
they're going to like that one. Australian. You know what? We're going to copy that and just we're going to put that on a loop for our Australian friends.
Which, yeah, they'll know what I'm saying because I have no clue. But yeah. New Zealand, it's a little softer.
That makes sense. Like rounder tones.
Yeah. Okay. And just a little more American sounding, I guess. Yeah.
All right.
We're down there. So. They did not pick it up. They still sound very American.
How long of a trip does it take to get to New Zealand?
Oh, God.
Was it like 28 hours?
You remember when we came back.
No, I don't. I don't know if you told me, but I think I was just guessing.
You weren't listening.
Did you say, did you tell me? I have no idea.
No, we came up from Dunedin, which is in the southern part of the Southern Island. And so we went Dunedin to Christchurch, Christchurch to Auckland, Auckland to LA, LA to Chicago. It was 28 hours. And there were no layovers. I mean, all the flights were late. So you literally got off.
And ran to the next plane?
Yeah, ran. Yep, yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know what about getting off a plane when you have to catch another flight? The flight attendants, the crew will say, if you aren't in a hurry, please stay in your seats.
Oh, no one does that.
No one.
People are monsters.
No one stays in their seat until the people who need to go and catch another flight have an opportunity. There is absolutely no following of, and I don't know if it's because I don't put my jacket in the overhead bin. I don't put small things in the overhead. I only put my roller board in the overhead. My backpack goes in the seat in front of me. I keep my coat on me.
Yeah.
And I guess because I follow the rules, every person, like, I just want to grab their coat. Are you listening to the instructions as they're doing it?
Well, I used to get belligerent when you could not use your phone either takeoff or landing.
Oh, yeah.
And if someone was next to me using their phone, I would just get furious, and I would just say, you know, they told you to turn that off. The presumption is, of course, it would crash the airplane, which, of course, is preposterous.
Turns out to not be right. I know no one pays any attention to those instructions at all anymore.
No,
nobody. They even tell you to please put on airplane mode. No one's doing that.
No, I mean,
I thought they said it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I think they did.
Well, they try to put. They want you to put it in an airplane mode, but I mean, as you're hurtling down the runway for takeoff, there's someone next to you texting away.
Yeah. Yeah, because they still have a signal.
Or
yeah.
They talk really loud. They're like, yeah, no, I'm leaving now.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what are you, who are you, what?
That's my favorite, yeah. I love sitting next to people.
The one-sided conversation.
Because we're not in close quarters.
But, the second wheels are down, everyone's phones.
Oh, God.
Conversations
immediately. Yeah.
What kind of phones are people using around you?
I don't know. Those are the voices again. What can I tell you, man?
It's like isn't that from the what was the one?
I don't know. That was a computer. That was not a phone.
No, there was a TV show, Buck Rogers. Okay. Nobody? I mean, I have to look this up now. there was a little robot that sounded like that.
Yeah, okay.
That future, but yeah, Buck Rogers.
With Aaron Gray.
Future
and,
or whatever.
And Gil
Oh, gosh, Jim. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the robot, though.
There was a little robot in that.
Okay.
Movie. Yeah.
I'm
a little silver
disbelieving
guy.
Disbelieving you. I'm just not.
Buck Rogers. Let me see what the robot's name was. It's Googling with Patty Vasquez. What was his name? Hold on a second. I can't find. Oh, Tweaky. Tweaky made that kind of noise, didn't he?
Why are you saying that like we should know this?
Tweaky.
Did anyone watch that show?
I did.
Did you really?
Apparently.
Oh, God. I remember. I hated that thing.
See, that's what those.
Can I say none of those sounds sounded like that?
No. Beady, beady, beady. A little bit, a couple of
them. That's what cell phones sound like to me.
Beady, beady, beady.
Yeah.
Scott loves technology.
Beady, beady, beady. I just keep saying beady, beady.
Cell phones, just no one pays attention to anyone anymore. It's just sad.
You should make them pay attention.
I do. I'm belligerently polite on my elevator in my building.
I do. I love the maniacal kindness. Don't you? Yes. I do that a lot with people.
Fine, thank you. And you?
You're welcome.
That's why manners were made.
It is. It's a little creepy.